Good evening. This is the NLA Hams Net. I'm Terry Moore, KI0RE in Colorado. And I'd like to invite everybody to participate tonight. I went out hiking today, and I'm completely wore out. So the more you guys talk, the better off we'll be. I'd like to take check-ins. We want to consider NLA information as well as ham information or ham radio or amateur radio information. So if you have any traffic or questions or suggestions or things you want to say, I'd be happy to hear them. But for now, let's do some check-ins. Who's out there? Come now.
Well, this is Kilo Charlie 3 Hotel Victor Alpha, Pennsylvania Jan, signing in. I did post some stuff on the website. I'll go over that in a minute whenever you get over.
Thank you, Jan. We look forward to hearing from it. Who else?
This is Greg in Florida.
That was Greg in Florida?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Greg. Next.
Richard in Virginia.
Richard, we're glad to hear from you. Okay. Are you going to have any traffic tonight, Richard?
I don't know.
Okay. Greg, you going to have any traffic tonight? I'll take that as I don't know.
Not
what?
Related.
Okay. That's fine. Who else would like to check in?
Well, it's Harley from Vermont. How are you guys doing?
Thank you, Harley.
What's your definition of traffic? Is that like messages as opposed to contact technicalities? Or?
Good point. Excellent point. You know, I just assumed everybody would understand what I meant, and that's a bad assumption on my part. I apologize. Traffic means that anytime you're carrying information across the airways on RF, that's traffic. Whether it's information, questions, suggestions, comments, criticisms, whatever it is, information, it's traffic, because the channel that we're talking on, in RF terms, not this one, of course, but in RF terms, it can only handle one person talking at a time. So I can't take somebody else's traffic until I finish hearing the traffic from this person. Does that make sense, Harley?
I guess. I guess it's a lingo thing.
Yes, it's just a lingo thing.
Just a ham thing.
Well, it's a good thing to model on here, probably the way, you know, we should talk over.
I agree, and that's why I've been doing roughly, well, like a ham net would be conducted since we started this. So, thank you very much. Do you have any traffic tonight?
I do not, sir.
Okay.
In the lingo.
Fine.
Yes.
Well, is there anybody else out there? Could you please check in now? Thank you.
Yeah, Jan in Kansas, and I don't have any, pardon me, I don't have any traffic tonight, Terry.
Thank you, Jan. I should have told that, too. And that is, to keep it short and sweet, we can use the term no traffic. Now, traffic means something, and no traffic means something. So there you go. Tonight, you have no traffic. That means you don't have anything you want to talk about. Okay, who else is out there? Okay, if anybody else comes in, they can check in later. I'll make one more call. Is anybody out there? Please call in now. Nothing heard, so I'll continue on. I hope each of you have at least made an attempt to contact a ham in your area and start learning about ham radio and gaining enough information so that you can pass the test and get at least your tech license, maybe more. Excuse me, I've picked up a cough today. The other thing you can do is, especially if you have radio, is by connecting a club, you start to learn what the different networks in your area are. So you pick one and you just listen. You don't have to check in if you don't want to, but it feels good when you have a call sign and you can check in. So getting used to what it sounds like to condense your messages down to a very small time frame and yet get your entire message across is very important. And hams practice this by doing a network and keeping what they say to a minimum and yet getting all the information across. So there's the little bit. We talked about traffic. We talked about hamnets a little bit. I am anxious to hear KC3HVA, Jan, in Pennsylvania, what your traffic is. Please go ahead. You have the floor, sir.
Well, I happened to get stuck on a call for an hour, which I just got off, or I'd have a lot more for you. I was going to a local radio club here. We have two repeaters here. One of them's just across the valley from me. And I live in an area in the Appalachian Mountains, the old I guess you call them worn down mountains is the way they describe it when I took geography as a kid. Not like Terry, who has those big rugged Rockies, but we do have peaks, and the repeater here that's set up across the valley from me is tied into eight other repeaters up and down the valley and valleys here. Five of them are on peaks in my area, and then there's one in the local town and a couple others. Now, with that, you can transmit and get coverage, and I was going to post a map on the website, but I didn't get to it because of the phone call. But I've got coverage in maybe 60 to 80 miles in all directions with that setup, which is far in excess of anything I had anticipated. And I need to mute somebody. I just came on and got a...
Yeah, please mute yourself. Somebody's bleeding back. If you're not talking, please mute yourself. Thank you. Star 6.
That's Mr. Robert, I believe. I just muted him for a minute. You can hit star 6, Robert, and mute. Anyway, it's not unique. It is unique to areas that have either high hills or mountains, large or small. And it depends on your local clubs, since these are all by the local club. Our local club here charges $39 a year. You join the ARRL, I believe that was $59 a year. But having attended a couple of meetings for the local Nittany Valley Amateur Radio Group, this group is well-funded. They got $40,000-$50,000 in the bank there from different things from the people, the subscription stuff. So they're doing well, and they can afford to maintain all eight of these repeaters and so on. Now, they put out a map showing the coverage and looking at it, and I'll put that up on the website when I get a chance, maybe tomorrow. It shows the coverage in green, and it goes down all of the valleys to the north, south, east, west out of here, and pretty well gives solid coverage everywhere except up toward the peaks. And there aren't many people living up near the peaks, so you should have really good coverage in a lot of different areas. So I would encourage people to get on the website. If you go to our little ham page, you go to the Committee of Safety and then click on the ham communications. I posted three new URLs on there. And that's a way of tracking information in your local area. The first one is tracking your repeaters in the area, and you can track them by state, county, or zip code. The second one You can track it by state or location, or you can give them a distance, and it'll tell you all that are at distance from you. And they show you maps of that. And then the third one that I posted is just if you get somebody's call sign, you want to find out who they are, where they are, and you didn't ask or got cut off or whatever, you can go there and look up knowing their call sign, find out information about them. That's all about all I had time to gather up tonight. Over.
Wow, Jan, that is excellent. And I just sent you a similar thing we have here in Colorado. We have about 15 repeaters on colocon.org. That's colocon.org, which colo stands for Colorado, C-O-L-O, and con, connection. It's the Colorado connection in here. And that has about 15, 16 link computers. And you transmit into the receiving frequency on one, they all link, and that's generally what it's called. They're all linked together, and they all start listening to your message and sending it out all over Colorado. And if you click on the map for each one, you can see what part of Colorado each one covers. And coming back from a place where I was helping as a ham radio operator, I was helping out. One night we had the Colorado Connection Network, and as we went through it, just like we're doing a network here, as I drove across I-70, I managed to log into the network on three different repeaters. It just happened they call for the repeater. I could hit that repeater, and so I did. And so I checked that in effect, tests the system to make sure it's working at those repeaters. So you like to have people from different repeaters be able to log in. Also, the lingo, when you read these things, you can look up every word, or you can just kind of brush over the stuff you really don't understand yet and understand the stuff that you do. I hope you look something up, but that's okay if you don't. Read the parts and understand the parts that you do understand. And don't worry that you're missing a word here and word there. You can get back to them or you can look them up. So that is excellent information, Jan, and I look forward to that popping up. I just went down to the bottom of the ham page, www.nationallibertyalliance.org/ham, or COS, Ham Emergency Communications. And I see all the stuff that you were talking about, Jan. That's excellent. Thank you so much for doing this. Okay. anything else, Jan?
No, that's all I had. I hope to have more. I got tied up a bit.
Okay. Anybody else have any traffic? Any more questions? Harley, that was an excellent question because I started off we could talk about these things, but thank you. Are there any other questions, comments, suggestions, criticisms, or toe jelly?
Quick question. I tried to look up your website for Colocon. Didn't come up. Is it colocon.org?
Yeah, I pasted it to your Skype.
Right. I can't
it didn't
find
work?
It under that. No.
Really?
You don't have coverage come back here, and that's the problem.
I'm on it right now. And let's see. Let me paste it again. How about that? That work better?
Ah, yes, it does. Because
I guess it. I guess it doesn't have
one,
a second O.
One
O
missing
it?
There. Yeah, and had
yeah,
an extra.
There's an
O.
Okay, oh, I was wrong. COL.
Yep.
That'll work.
I got it. Works great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sorry about that. Sure. Thank you for pointing out my mistake. And anybody else is welcome to take a look at that because we have these really big mounting sites for towers. So we don't have to build the first 2,000, 3,000 feet of tower and we still get a 12,000-14,000 feet tower up there, which means it gets really good coverage, except in those valleys in between. Does everybody understand what a linked repeater system means?
No.
Okay.
Good evening. Good evening. It's Mary.
Yes.
My apologies.
Yes.
My computer just keeps shutting down every time I try and log in, and I didn't have the phone number written down. So I apologize for coming in late.
Who is
so
this?
Mary.
Oh, hi, Mary.
Mary in Pennsylvania.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, I don't know what it is.
Okay. A linked system is where you can, they're spread out over a geographical area so that they cover slightly different areas on the ground. And when you key up on one of the repeaters, they all link up.
Gotcha.
So that whatever you say into the repeater you're connected to is repeated to all the different repeaters. So instead of covering the area for one repeater, you're covering all 8 or 16 repeaters. And they're all getting it. So when you call it, when you call up the Colorado Connection at that website, colcon.org, you get probably between 50 and 70% of the land area in Colorado is covered. So it will reach the mountains. There's a lot of repeaters that are around, but they're mostly on the Front Range. And they don't drive back into the mountains because there's always a bigger mountain behind it. And if you don't line up with a particular valley, since UHF and VHF are line of sight, dirt stops them. And so if you have a second repeater that kind of looks down a different valley, you call up on the first repeater, give your information, and it's repeated on the second repeater so everybody down in that valley hears it where they wouldn't hear the first repeater. It's really slick how it works.
Okay.
And it covers a lot of people. And it's great for mountainous terrain. Does that make sense, Mary?
Yes, it does. Thank you so very much. Absolutely cleared the picture.
Can I ask for a clarification on that there?
Please do. Please do. Who's this?
Harley.
Hi, Harley.
So it is just what it sounds like. It's literally just taking in the weaker signal, say, from a line of sight it has, and then pumping it across to other ones in a network and re-emitting it. So real time, right? Just like you were on the phone or on this call, it's basically with very little lag, just whatever the resistance on the wire is.
Right. And the nice thing is that most of the repeaters, especially here in Colorado, they're up on mountaintops or they're very high up on a mountain. And so when you key up one, it can see several of the others. Well, the others go ahead and link also. And you might have one repeater that's linked to four others, but the four others, they get their link going to that one, and it goes back to the rest of the network. It just all depends on what the terrain is and how the particular ham who built or hams that built the network wanted it to work and make it work the best. And, yes, the nice thing is that most of these repeaters are up high, and they can see each other. Whereas if I'm down here in Longmont, I can see maybe one or two of the repeaters. I can't see the one in Colorado Springs. Because I can't see it, I can't transmit to it. But there's one in Colorado Springs, and if I keep the one I can see here in Denver, it activates the one in Colorado Springs. There is about a two-second delay for all of these repeaters to link up. And link up means, okay, somebody's transmitting on this repeater right here, and we'll call that the Denver repeater. All the other repeaters hear that and go into a repeat mode where they're listening to the Denver repeater, or they're listening to a repeater that's listening to the Denver repeater, and it takes about 2 seconds for all those links to come up. So you're right. There is a short delay simply because of the physics of switching all those circuits over and having them all done. So usually what you do is you listen for the whole thing to shut off. Then you key up and you wait 2 seconds. So key 1-1000, 2-1000, then I start talking. And that
yeah, but it's still more of just a flat spot.
I'm sorry?
Right. It's more just a flat spot than an actual delay. Because after that, everything's real time. That's what's
yes.
pretty
right.
magical about it. Or you still would walk all over each other if you had, you know, crazy delays.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you do. And people get used to using it. That's one of the skills that you develop as a ham radio operator, is the skill to key up and not start talking right away, but wait until the system settles down, and that's only 2 seconds. So that's how I did it. I counted to two using 1,000. That gives me 2 seconds. That's usually enough. And then there's no delay. You're right. There's no delay. As soon as it pushes it out.
And you're saying a lot of these networks are on renewable energy, kind of like survival packs? I mean, they're isolated up on the hilltops already. They've probably got their own sort of power supplies and the backup.
Some of them, there are, yes. And it you know what? It all depends on how much effort the club that's maintaining the repeater, or the ham radio operator who's maintaining the repeater. Usually it takes a group effort, and if they put the effort in, they have an automatic switch over. You know, it's just like your UPS that you have on the floor next to your computer. I know not all of you have them. I have one. I'm guaranteed about 20 minutes of full operation with this computer just screaming if I lose power. My computer doesn't go off. Well, they do the same thing with repeaters, but they get a different tone and they turn it on somehow so they know that's happened. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. It probably goes into conservation mode, right? All their equipment and then has a certain lasting period before it just dies.
Yeah, and it usually sends back a code. You know, it'll send back either a talking code, depending upon what the equipment has been set to do, or it sends back a Morse code that says BAT, da-da-da-da, saying bat. Might spill out the whole battery. The people
I'm
that are
listening. If you got 6 hours, little song.
Yeah. So all of this stuff is in the repeater, and it depends upon the person who programmed the repeater as to what comes off of that.
Here's a wild thought for people. I mean, I think like this, and, you know, of course there's always things to donate to, but that would be an interesting investigation as we all roll forward trying to hit, you know, find repeaters in our areas, even from one place, much less to driving around, and find out what they're constituted of, whether they're well-funded like the one you talked about, or whether they're always holding bake sales and worried about their equipment going down, you know? And that might be something interesting to make sure it was well-funded in your area, because your fire department uses it to anybody else, right?
Yes, I'd like to draw your attention to the NationalLibertyAlliance.org ham page. NationalLibertyAlliance.org/ham.
I don't believe I know where it is.
down at the bottom, before the Wednesday night recordings, Jan has put in some links there to amateur radio repeaters by state, county, or zip. That's a good place to start. I agree with you. And also, if you start looking at those repeaters, a lot of them will have a web page that talks about the club and when they meet and who maintains it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every repeater has to have what's called a trustee for the repeater. That's somebody who is responsible for that repeater. Every repeater has an out-of-band frequency that it has to have by FCC regulation. It's out of band, that person, that trustee, and a small group of people that help him or her can control that repeater, because that's the part that is important. A ham radio operator controls his station. If you have a trustee who controls a repeater, he has to be able to overcome whatever's going on in his in the normal frequencies the repeater operates on. And the only way you can do that is to have an out-of-band link that that the repeater is listening to that comes in on the control circuits, and you can cut it off. So if somebody is not doing the right thing, you can cut it off.
Wow, do you sense? Do it kind of with modem technology? Do you send it a deedle, dee 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 kind of thing through a computer sound? Or
most,
call it James Bondy now.
Most ham radios, including the ones that we that are being sold up on National Liberty Alliance, have a keypad. And that keypad uses the touch tone tones from a touch tone keypad on a telephone. And those touch tone codes, there's usually a sequence of them that will cause the repeater to do A or B or C or D. There could be a multiple of things that could be done. Most clubs nowadays, no, I won't say most, I'd say many clubs nowadays, take and you can hit certain telephone code tones, and it will link to a particular repeater on the other side of the world, and you can call up somebody there and have a conversation with somebody in Australia, for example, or Canada, or England. And it's all in what codes you type in. And you, those codes might be, it might be listening for those codes on the regular repeater input, or it might be listening for those codes on the control input, which is out of band. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a repeater could repeat not just one bandwidth, or, you know, one frequency, rather. You know what I mean? It could just sit up there repeating all kinds of things, couldn't it?
Good, but you generally don't do that. Generally,
you have a single source, single use one. That was my first technical question, and you know,
you can have. I have a local repeater here, and I don't have the frequency right offhand. Where is it? 445.875 here in Longmont. That is a. It's a simplex repeater. Most repeaters, you talk to the repeater on your radio on one frequency, and then there's what's called an offset on a different frequency that everybody is listening to, which the repeater the repeater's output comes on that. So as you're talking, it's repeating whatever you're saying from one frequency onto another frequency, which is the output of the repeater. So what you normally have on the radio is you tune to the output, and every radio that, well, almost every radio that you have now will say how much of an offset. You tell it, I have a repeater, and 600 hertz up above this frequency or 600 hertz below that frequency is where I want to transmit. So when I key up, if you watch the radio, and I'm not telling everybody to key up, just when you get there.
Yeah.
It jumps immediately to the repeater's input frequency. You say what you're going to say, and then it repeats it out on the repeater's output. Well, everybody's listening to the output. And you've cleverly set up your repeaters so that they work and they each listen to each other. So, like, if I was linking repeater A to repeater B, Maybe I've got A, repeater A, I can talk to it, but I can't hit B, C, and D. Well, I would make B, C, and D listen to the output of the A repeater, and then their output would be something different than what that is, and they would talk out to the world as soon as I keyed up. So this has all been thought out. And I encourage you to look up repeaters and see how they work, because they're fascinating, and they make ham radio possible for a lot more people. Does that answer your question, Harley, or am I
Well, just there's another second part to the mechanics. You know, I know how functionally it works. You say, you know, you press your phone key, and everybody can do that, and I know why that works. It's like a modem analog digital, you know, sort of process, like your modem sounds would be if you were listening to them anymore. But my question is, with that system, you know, and as long as the equipment's digital, the radio equipment, it's the thing picking up the signal to tell you to jump to a repeater around the world. Do you think the around-the-world system would work with the grid down? Or would that probably be one of the first things to go, that kind of sophisticated hop that probably rely on a few different digital-analog conversions and wires or
what? You know, it's got to be well-coordinated to make this repeater repeat whatever this other repeater is hearing. It's got... and. You've got to set that up. In a local area like all of Colorado, it's taken years to develop the Colorado Connection system that we talked about on colcon.org. It's taken years to get that thing tuned to where it works all the time. It covers a large area. There are others. There's a couple in Utah that include New Mexico and Colorado, and not everyone is connected just to the grid. It depends upon the individual repeater. But when you think about it, if it's not on the grid, then you either have sunshine, wind power, or a big battery. And if you're smart, you have a big battery first, and then if you can attach solar power or wind power or whatever else you have to charge that battery, there you go. So maybe they don't work as well at night, but during the day, or when the wind's blowing, yeah, you theoretically could make a connection that goes all over the place. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, all of them could be hardened individually, and that's awesome, and I think, you know, just God bless all the people working on that, you know, aspect of things. I just curious how many of these kind of functions would work if you had a network of repeaters that, say, didn't depend on the grid and you knew that for a fact. Like, that's like sort of a piece of geeky research, I guess, I can get into for myself if I want to contact each and every one and see what their grid down, you know, contingency, you know, gear and backup plans and all that are. You know, and then wherever we can assist that and make sure it gets dollars, I mean, it all kind of connects through your fire departments and EMS and, you know, even your snow plows. Everybody else probably depends on there being a good set of repeaters. And my only other quick question was off the top of your head, do you think there's, for all those networks in Colorado, that there's quite an array of signals available or just a few?
Well, when you start talking about a region or a state, and generally it's by state, then you get into some of the hierarchy of what amateur radio has done for itself. In other words, we don't want the FCC controlling us any more than we have to. Well, the way we get the FCC not to control us so much is we let the FCC write whatever regs they want. Then we govern ourselves as ham radio operators to coordinate the frequencies used so that this repeater does not interfere with this other one. You want to make sure of two things. One, that the radio is far enough away, and two, that you're not stepping on somebody else's repeater input, so every time you key up with this repeater, that repeater starts going off also, but not it doesn't have a real good signal to where you're at. The other thing I wanted to mention, does that answer your question? I guess I should.
Yeah, no, I'm getting a good sense of it, and I appreciate all this. Really do. Yeah. Keep going.
Okay.
Okay, but Terry?
Yes, go ahead.
Before you lose the point or change, maybe you're going to answer this, but it sounded to me like maybe, well, my question then would be, and I should probably know, anyway, this is Kilo Mike 6, Foxtrot Bravo 0, I got that. So I don't have equipment yet, hopefully sound will be good, but based on what you were just talking about, if you're talking about a person keying up to a repeater, and then my question is this, and I don't recall this from the test, I'm unclear, if, let me say that multiple people can use the same repeater simultaneously. I know there's a kind of like what you were saying, so that the FCC, we self-regulate. So there's a be polite, be, you know, don't step on other people and things like that. So am I hearing and understanding correctly that there's only one radio at a time on a repeater, or are multiples able to use the same repeater that can go forward in the domino set? Is that a clear question? There's two.
Yes, that's a clear question. And I'm going to try to state it as clearly as I can. Only one person can be talking on a particular frequency. If that frequency is the input to a repeater, what they're saying can be heard by anybody tuned to the output of that other repeater, wherever it is. So essentially, it's simplex communication.
Right.
I'm going
okay,
to say
got
that
it.
It's duplex because you're using two different frequencies, one for the input of the repeater and one for the output of the repeater.
Well, the variation comes with whoever's talking from wherever they are, but everybody's listening potentially at the same time. So that's really what it is. The person talking monopolizes all of the repeaters for that message and then stops. Somebody else talks from wherever, same thing. Everybody else is listening. Is that the
exactly.
gist of it? Okay.
Exactly. Now,
okay.
I have in my hand a repeater directory from 2004-2005. It was $9.95 at HRO. It's the ARRL repeater directory. They make a new one every year or every 2 years, whatever it is. And it lists all the repeaters on all the bands nationwide. It's not perfect. You can also look up on the website that Jan has nicely put up there.
And it's not supposed to be happening except for the background music can happen, but you can't be broadcasting radio music. But we could have had an example of that that just happened. Isn't that interesting? That was on that.
There you go.
Okay.
That was my phone going off.
That was awesome.
Right. Not supposed to transmit music.
But it can happen in the background,
right.
Secondarily, like that. It can be a kind of one of those things.
I've had my radio a little too loud, the car radio a little too loud, and it bled over into the repeater. But in this directory, there's a column, and I was looking up the column, but I can't find out. And it's about power. And well, there used to be one. I don't see it now. There used to be one about power. I know what it is. It's in the notes. They put a whole bunch of things in the notes that are represented by a single letter. And you have to look up the letter in the notes. And one of the notes says battery powered or alternate powered or solar powered. So it's on the grid most of the time, but it will switch over to the battery if the grid goes down.
Okay, so and interesting
in the,
that you bring it.
Repeater directory.
And when you bring that right around to an earlier question that was talked about where you had the Morse code coming off, you see, that's the thing, is I'm just a tech and I don't understand Morse code, you know, and I wouldn't know that if I was hearing it, you know, if I needed to know that it was battery powered or whatever, you know. So there's a number of people I would imagine that are kind of like, you know, that don't know Morse code and they might not be getting that kind of information. So I guess it's neither here nor there. It's just a matter of, oh, well. And it's great if people maintain their repeaters good and the clubs that do that and everything. And that, like this other fellow was bringing up all these questions, all these theoretical ideas, and maybe he'll go out and just the world and get everybody to, you know, to tech up really good. But until then, I guess we're just left with it works or it doesn't.
Yes. So I do want to say one thing there. I would encourage every person to learn Morse code, and don't learn it the way I learned it. I was hiking with ham. My hiking buddy is a ham, and she's very good. and she learned Morse code the proper way. You never look at a list, and this is why it's hard to find a list of what the codes are, the dits and the das, for any letter in Morse code, because you should learn it by listening to it, writing it down. Yeah. I didn't know that, and so I learned it from a list in the back of a book when I was about 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
I've seen a list. It goes through the alphabet, and that would be a hard way to learn.
That's the hard way to learn, and it crippled me. I barely got 13 words a minute on one test, and then all I did is, and I passed the written, and that's the day I got my advanced radio. I could not go to the 20 words per minute because using your brain and thinking it through, you don't have time. You have to listen to it like a new language, and that new language, I've heard of people that can listen to a code conversation running at 55, 60 words per minute in the background and be talking to you, and they can tell you what they're talking about on the other. They listen to two conversations at once. Can be done.
Yeah. Well, listen, I just want to say one quick thing. I accidentally got on here because I saw today, Jan, about the new number. I'd been having trouble. I'd used two different ones, and then all of a sudden they started charging. So basically I got, I think NLA was under attack, and it's nice that they did actually put a new number, and it works, and there's no problem with my service as of yet. And I stumbled onto this call. I've been, you know, fascinated with the information, but I'm in the middle of something. I got to go, and I'm going to lose power to this phone here. I'm on a cell, so...
thank you for
hearing all this that you guys are talking about, and we'll
give me a call.
It's Kilo Mike 6 Foxtrot Bravo Zulu. I don't have any radio yet, but you know that's another.
Well, thank you. And what was your name?
My name's Ron Terry. I did get my.
I know you, Ron.
I said that because you and I talked before, and I did get it this summer. I guess I haven't gone to the next level. I just have been inundated, so I've got to go.
Excellent.
And we'll talk to you
soon.
All right.
Come back soon, please.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, any other input? Anybody want to say anything or ask any more questions? We're reaching the end of this network meeting.
I would just like to make one more comment.
For you, Jan, I'll let you make one more comment.
Okay.
But only one.
A quick one. I noticed that the linked repeaters here and yours as well are all running in VHF, which is good. My local site here, and maybe we should save this for the next meeting, but we have a main mountain here, little flat top, and on top of that we have three antennas. So we have one that's looking north and has a real wide angle that's radiating, and then we have one that looks southwest, which is also fairly wide, and then we have an eastern-looking antenna that has very broad azimuthal coverage. And then we have four mountains around: Pine Grove Mountain, Purdue Mountain, Rattlesnake Mountain, and Blue Mountain. And then we have a local site in State College here. So we do have one large setup on our main site, which is probably the highest point around, and then we have the other four mountains to help out. Over.
Cool. That it?
Yep, that's it.
Thank
There's
you.
No more.
Excellent, Jan. I thank you very much. I appreciate everybody participating today. Please continue to contact HAMS. Please continue to study. It was nice to hear Ron have his call sign. And I would encourage you to study, get your license, work with your HAM radio club, local HAM radio club, and find a mentor HAM that's in your area that can help you answer questions. But you're welcome to come here. You're welcome to call me at any time. I need to close the net because we're running out of time. Thanks, everyone, for participating in the NLA HamNet. This net happens on Wednesdays. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and we conduct it as if it was actually on the air on radio. Not entirely, because it's not, but we try and get everybody used to seeing what a net is like. I hope the information's been good. Please bring your reports. If you get a call sign, let me know. If you have a question, suggestion, criticism, anything you have, comment, I'd love to hear it. We'll see you guys next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday night. Have a great evening, folks.
Terry?
The net is now closed.
Terry?